13. They lay becalmed below a sky of brazen cobalt, and every hour of the calm allowed the Mozambique current to push the little dhow another 3 miles off its course. Aimlessly she swung her head to meet each of the long swells, and then let it fall away into the troughs. For the 20th time since dawn, Sebastian climbed up onto the poop deck and surveyed the endless waters, searching for a ruffle on the glassy surface that would herald the wind. But there was never any sign of it. He looked towards the west, but the blue line of the coast had long since sunk below the horizon.
"I'm an old dog, Fissy!" bellowed Flynn from the lower deck. "Hear me laugh!"
And he imitated faithfully the yammering cry of an hyena. All day Flynn had regaled the company with snatches of song and animal imitations. Yet his delirium was interspaced with periods of lucidity.
"I reckon this time old Fleischer got me good, Basie. There's a sack of poison forming round the bullet. I can feel it there. A fat, hot sack of it. Reckon we've got to dig for it pretty soon. Reckon if we can't make it back to Zanzibar pretty soon, we're going to have to dig for it."
Then his mind escaped once more into the hot land of delirium.
"My little girl, I'll bring you a pretty ribbon. There, don't cry. A pretty ribbon for a pretty girl."
His voice, syrupy, then suddenly harsh.
"You cheeky little bitch. You're just like that goddamn mother of yours. Don't know why I don't chase you out."
This last followed immediately by the hyena imitation again. Now Sebastian turned away from the poop rail and looked down on Flynn. Beside him, the faithful Muhammad was dipping strips of cloth in a bucket of seawater, wringing them out, then laying them on Flynn's flushed forehead in a futile attempt to reduce the fever. Sebastian sighed. His responsibilities lay heavily. The command of the expedition had devolved squarely upon him, and yet there was a sneaky sensation of pleasure, of pride in his execution of that command to the present. He went back and replayed in his mind the episode of the fishnet, remembering the quick decision that had altered the launch's course and lured it into the trap. He smiled at the memory, and the smile was not his usual self-effacing grin, but something harder. When he turned away to pace the narrow deck, there was more spring in his step, and he set his shoulders square. Again he stopped by the rail and looked towards the west. There was a cloud on the horizon, a tiny, dark figure of it, and he watched it with hope that it might herald the start of the afternoon sea breeze, yet it seemed unnatural. As he watched, it moved. He could swear it moved. Now his whole attention was fastened upon it. Realization began to flicker in him, building up until it was certainty. A ship! By God, a ship! He ran to the poop ladder and slid down into the waist, across it to the mast. The crew and the bearers watched him with awakening interest. Some of them got to their feet. Sebastian jumped onto the boom, balancing there a moment before he started to shin up the mast. Using the mainsail hoops like the rungs of a ladder, he reached the masthead and clung there, peering eagerly into the west. There she was, no doubt about it. He could see the tips of the triple stacks, each with its feather of dark smoke, and he began to cheer. Below him, the rail was lined with his men, all peering out in the direction they took from him. Sebastian slid down the mast, the friction burning his hands in his haste. His feet hit the deck and he ran to Flynn. "A ship! A big ship coming up fast!" Flynn rolled his head and looked at him vaguely. "Listen to me, Flynn. There'll be a doctor aboard. We'll get you to a port in no time.
That's good, Bessie.
Flynn's brain clicked back into focus. You've done real good. She came up over the horizon with astonishing rapidity, and her silhouette changed as she altered course towards them. But not before Sebastian had seen the gun turrets.
A warship! He shouted.
To his mind, this proved her British. Only one nation ruled the waves.
They've seen us!
He waved his hands above his head. Bows on, each second growing in size, grey and big, she bore down upon the little dhow. Gradually, the cheering of the crew faltered and subsided into an uneasy silence. Magnified by the still, hot air, huge on the velvety gloss of the ocean, lifting a bow wave of purling white, the warship came on. No check in her speed, the ensign at her masthead streaming away from them so they could not see the colours.
"What are they going to do?"
Sebastian asked aloud, and was answered by Flynn's voice. Sebastian glanced around, balancing on his good leg, with one arm draped around Mohammed's neck. Flynn was hopping across the deck towards him.
"I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to hit us smack bang up the arse," Flynn roared. "That's the Blucher. That's a German cruiser."
"They can't do that," Sebastian protested.
"You like to bet? She's coming straight from the Rafiji Delta. And my guess is she's had a chat with Fleischer. He's probably aboard her."
Flynn swayed against Mohammed, gasping with the pain of his leg before he went on.
"They're going to ram us, and then machine gun anyone still floating.
We've got to make a life raft."
"No time, Bessie. Look at her come."
Less than 5 miles away, but swiftly narrowing the distance, the Blucher's tall bows knifed towards them. Wildly, Sebastian looked around the crowded deck, and he saw the pile of cork floats they had cut from the fishnets. Drawing his knife, he ran to one of the sacks of coconuts and cut the twine that closed the mouth. He slipped the knife back into its sheath, stooped and upended the sack, spilling coconuts onto the deck, and then, with the empty sack in his hand, he ran to the pile of floats and dropped on his knees. In frantic haste, he shoveled them into the sack, half filling it before he looked up again. The Blucher was 2 miles away, a tall tower of murderous grey steel. With a length of rope, Sebastian tied the sack closed and dragged it to where Flynn stood, supported by Mohammed.
"What are you doing?" Flynn demanded.
"Fixing you up. Lift your arms." Flynn obeyed, and Sebastian tied the free end of the rope around his chest at the level of his armpits. He paused to unlace and kick off his boots before speaking again.
"Mohammed, you stay with him. Hang onto the sack and don't let go."
He left them, trotting on bare feet, to find his rifle propped against the poop. Buckling on his cartridge belt, he hurried back to the rail. Sebastian Oldsmith was about to engage a 9-inch battle cruiser with a double-barrel Gibbs .500. She was so close now, hanging over them like a high cliff of steel. Even Sebastian could not miss a battlecruiser at 200 yards, and the heavy bullets clanged against the armoured hull, ringing loudly above the hissing rush of the bow wave. While he reloaded, Sebastian looked up at the line of heads in the bows of the Blucher, grinning faces below the white caps with their little swallow-tailed black ribbons.
"You bloody swine!" he shouted at them.
Hatred, stronger than he had ever dreamed possible, choked his voice.
"You filthy, bloody swine!"
He lifted the rifle and fired without effect, and the Blucher hit the dhow. It struck with a crash and the crackling roar of rending timber. It crushed her side and cut through in the screaming of dying men and the squeal of planking against steel. It trod the dhow under, breaking her back, forcing her far below the surface. At the initial shock, Sebastian was hurled overboard, the rifle thrown from his hands. He struck the armoured plate of the cruiser a glancing blow, and then dropped into the sea beside her. The thrust of the bow wave tumbled him aside, else he would have been dragged along the hull, and his body shredded against the steel plate. He surfaced just in time to suck a lungful of air, before the turbulence of the great screws caught him and plucked him under again, driving him deep, so the pressure stabbed like red-hot needles in his eardrums. He felt himself swirled end over end, buffeted, shaken vigorously as the water tore at his body. Colour flashed and zigzagged behind his closed eyelids. There was a suffocating pain in his chest, and his lungs pumped, urgently craving air, but he sealed his lips and kicked out with his legs, clawing at the water with his hands. The churning wake of the cruiser released its grip upon him, and he was shot to the surface with such force that he broke clear to the waist before dropping back to drink air greedily. He unbuckled the heavy cartridge belt and let it sink before he looked about him. The surface of the sea was scattered with floating debris and a few bobbing human heads. Near him, a section of torn planking rose in a burst of trapped air bubbles. Sebastian struck out for it and clung there, his legs hanging in the clear, green water.
"Flynn!" he gasped. "Flynn! Where are you?"
A quarter of a mile away, the Blucher was circling slowly, long and menacing and shark-like, and he stared at it in hatred and fear.
"Master!"
Mohammed's voice behind him. Sebastian turned quickly and saw the black face and the red face beside the floating sack of corks 100 yards away.
"Flynn!"
"Goodbye, Bassie!" Flynn called. "The old Hun is coming back to finish us off. Look, they've got machine guns up on the bridge. See you on the other side, boy."
Quickly, Sebastian looked back at the cruiser and saw the cluster of white uniforms on the angle of her bridge.
"Yeah, there are still some of them alive."
Through borrowed binoculars, Fleischer scanned the littered area of the wreck.
"You will use the Maxims, of course, Capitan. It will be quicker than picking them off with the rifles."
Captain von Kleiner did not answer. He stood tall on his bridge, slightly round-shouldered, staring out at the wreckage with his hands clasped behind him.
"There is something sad in the death of a ship," he murmured. "Even such a dirty little one as this."
Suddenly he straightened his shoulders and turned to Fleischer.
"Your launch is waiting for you at the mouth of the Rufiji. I will take you there, Commissioner."
"But first the business of the survivors."
Von Kleiner's expression hardened.
"Commissioner, I sank that dhow in what I believe to be my duty. But now I am not sure that my judgment was not clouded by anger. I will not trespass further on my conscience by machine-gunning swimming civilians."
"You will then pick them up. I must arrest them and give them trial."
"I am not a policeman."
He paused, and his expression softened a little.
"That one who fired the rifle at us. I think he must be a brave man. He is a criminal, perhaps, but I am not so old in the ways of the world that I do not love courage merely for its own sake. I would not like to know I had saved this man for the noose. Let the sea be the judge and the executioner."
He turned to his lieutenant.
"Killer, prepare to drop one of the life rafts."
The lieutenant stared at him in disbelief.
"You heard me?"
"Yes, my captain."
"Then do it."
Ignoring Fleischer's squawk of protest, von Kleiner crossed to the pilot. "Alter course to pass the survivors at a distance of 50 meters.
"Here she comes!"
Flynn grinned tightly without humour and watched the cruiser swing ponderously towards them. The cries of the swimmers around him, pleading mercy, were plaintive as the voices of seabirds, tiny on the immensity of the ocean.
"Flynn, look at the bridge!"
Sebastian's voice floated across to him.
See him there, the grey uniform.
Tears from the sting of sea salt in his wound and the distortion of fever had blurred Flynn's vision, yet he could make out the spot of grey among the speckling of white uniforms on the bridge of the cruiser.
Who is it?
You were right, it's Fleischer, Sebastian shouted back, and Flynn began to curse.
Hey, you filthy fat butcher, he bellowed,
trying to drag himself onto the floating sack of corks.
Hey, you whore's chamber pot!
His voice carried above the murmur of the cruiser's engines running at dead slow.
Come on, you blood-smeared little pig!
The tall hull of the cruiser was close now, so close. He could see the bulky figure in grey turn to the tall, white-uniformed officer beside him, gesticulating in what was clearly entreaty. The officer turned away and moved to the rail of the bridge. He leaned out and waved to a group of seamen on the deck below him.
That's right. Tell them to shoot. Let's get it over with. Tell them...
A large, square object was lifted over the rail by the gang below the bridge. It dropped and fell with a splash alongside. Flynn's voice dried up as he watched in disbelief as the white-clad officer lifted his right arm in a gesture that might have been a salute. The beat of the cruiser's engines mounted as its increased speed, and she swung away towards the west. Flynn O'Flynn began to laugh, the cackling hysteria of relief and delirium. He rolled off the sack of corks, and his head dropped forward, so the warm green water smothered his laughter. Mohammed took a handful of the grey hair and lifted his face to prevent him drowning.